things change there. So I think right now, sitting back and seeing a veteran that's done it at a high level for a long time, you can develop that way as well. McKinchin, you go through that process and learn.
Shane Steichen, Colts head coach, on Anthony Richardson. Good morning. Happy Halloween. Jeremy and Joe with you on a beautiful Thursday. Almost maybe a record high today, 74. It is Bills Dolphins this week, but we are going to the Western Hotline to talk about the Colts, who is the Bills opponent after Miami, because they made a change at quarterback. Anthony Richardson to the bench, and Joe Flacco back into the starting lineup. We've seen him this year when Richardson's been hurt. So joining us on the Western Hotline is Zach Hicks, analyst for and writer for Colts on SI and Locked On Colts. Zach, good morning. Thanks for taking some time today.
Yeah, of course. Busy couple days here for Colts fans and Colts writers, but I appreciate you having me, man.
We had a spot earlier this year where Will Levis didn't play here in Buffalo, and we thought, boy, I wonder if it's about the matchup against the Bills, and he's a young quarterback, and they're protecting him, and you know, maybe it's an injury. When I saw Richardson maybe on the road at Minnesota, I got nervous on behalf of the Colts. And I'm not sure if there's a timing element that's about the opponents that are coming up, or if it's about where the Colts are in the standings, or if it's about the tap of the helmet, of course, right? Like, it's a little bit murky, and it seems like Richardson himself wasn't maybe told exactly why the change is being made.
Yeah, it seems like it came about pretty quick after the Houston Texans game. And honestly, if I just had to speculate here, I think it was really just an accumulation of a lot of things here, from performance on the field to the tap out, I'm sure was part of it. I'm sure, you know, Ryan Kelly offered some of his comments on that tap out and stuff. He didn't seem too pleased about it. Ryan Kelly, one of the captains, the oldest tenured captain on the team right now. So I think it was an accumulation of a lot of different things that led to this, but it does seem like it came about pretty quick. I mean, aside from Ryan Kelly, it feels like majority of Colts players found out through social media and found out through other avenues that way than found out from the team. So there might be more going on behind the scenes here that we're not too privy to, but the one thing I can say for sure is, and Shane Steichen was very clear about this, like, this isn't like a 1 week thing. This isn't even like a 2 week thing. Like, this is Joe Flacco is our starting quarterback going forward for the time being. And we'll see what happens there. So, this is clearly a move to move him to the bench, you know, presumably for the rest of the season, and we'll see what happens from there.
Steichen said that this move did not have anything to do with Richardson taking himself out of the game this past Sunday for being tired. Do you believe Steichen?
Yeah, to a degree. I don't think that it didn't play a factor at all. Like, I'm sure that there was part of it there, and I'm sure, you know, to a degree, like Steichen, I think, mentioned in one of his comments that, you know, you can sit and learn behind Joe Flacco and learn how to be a professional. And I think that's part of it, too. Like kind of learn to be that guy who can run a franchise and be the face of a franchise and be the quarterback that everyone can rally around. You know, when you're tapping out of games and look, it's a pretty innocuous play. It was a third and like 25 or something. They ran the ball up the middle in the next play, but just the optics of it and then the way he handled it in the media afterwards, like, not that it was like horrible by him, but it's just something that you don't see from starting quarterbacks. I do think that certainly factored into this decision. Now, if you're playing good football out there, it doesn't lead to a benching like this. And so certainly performance is a big part of this as well. But when you put it all together where the performance isn't good, there's been a lot of regression on the field this year compared to what he did in year one. And then you have the optics of what that was and, dare I say, like the lack of leadership, I guess, in a lot of ways and maybe immaturity as a 22-year-old player who doesn't know how to handle that situation. Then you get something that can lead to this kind of benching here.
How about the rest of the supporting cast? For me, like, watching as a, you know, impartial, not seeing the Colts every week, but I have fantasy investments,
yeah,
and Downs and Pittman, and these guys are good players to my eye. So is there a little bit of a feeling, because this is how it would look to me, is if I'm an owner of a team or a coach of a team, especially an offensive coach, and I've got pieces in place that I think can win games, and one piece is holding that back, sure, I want to develop that quarterback, but it's not like a Drake May in New England scenario where there's not a lot around him. I think there is a lot around Anthony Richardson.
Yeah, I think there's a good argument for that. And yeah, the Colts certainly have a lot of talent around Anthony Richardson. But I guess my slight pushback on that would be, like, guys like Michael Pittman Jr. and even offensive linemen who signed big deals, like, they signed here knowing what they were signing up for. You know, they signed here for the young quarterback experience in Anthony Richardson, and clearly he hasn't been playing well. Like, I'm not saying they signed up in particular for a 44% passer. Like, they probably expected a little bit better than this, but, you know, they kind of knew what they were signing up for when they signed back with this team. So, you know, to a degree, it's like, you know, they kind of knew what they were getting into, and so I'm not sure they're too upset about how Richardson's been playing. Like, again, obviously you want this to be better. But yeah, it's difficult because, you know, you see, you know, I think Buffalo's a great example. You see with Josh Allen that, like, he was a guy who was able to play through his early struggles and play through a lot of his downtime and grow with the players around him and become, you know, this next level superstar player. And to kind of sacrifice what that potential could be, even if it's, you know, even if Allen's such a outlier player, just to sacrifice even the potential of hitting that outlier for Joe Flacco, that you kind of know what you're getting, which is we're going to get a 40-year-old quarterback coming in here who's going to limp us to around 8, 9, maybe 10 wins if we get hot, like, and then we'll be in the same place we were prior to Anthony Richardson after the season. You know, it's such a difficult decision because I get what you're saying here, where it's like you want to prioritize winning games. You don't want to tell guys that we're not prioritizing winning games, but also you can't commit to mediocrity, you know, and it's kind of a difficult thing because even if Joe Flacco gives you a better chance to win, it's a better chance to win what? Like, you're not winning a Super Bowl this year. Like, you're not beating Buffalo in the playoffs. You're not beating Kansas City in the playoffs. You're not beating Baltimore in the playoffs with this team. I mean, Joe Flacco was arguably with a better team last year in the playoffs, and they got blown out in round one. And he was on an unreal heater with the Cleveland Browns last year. So I'm not too sure exactly, you know, what this accomplishes for this season. I'm not sure what the long-term plan is with Anthony Richardson. I'm not even sure if this was the wrong decision. Like, this could be perfectly right, and Richardson restores to the starting lineup next year, and he's great. But it's just – it's such a messy optics thing, and I don't know how this Richardson project goes from here. Like, again, I get prioritizing winning and getting Flacco out there, and he definitely gives you a better chance at winning this year. And guys like Taylor and Pittman and all them will probably enjoy the production this year. But long term, man, like I don't know what the plan is for this, and I don't even know if the Colts know what the plan is going forward after this.
Zach Hicks, lead analyst, Colts on SI, and co-host of Locked On Colts. Thanks, Zach.
Yep, appreciate it.
We'll see Flacco then next week, provided he stays healthy. Bills in Indy to take on the Colts. That's after they play Miami this week. Jeremy and Joe, 803-0550 to join us. We'll go to the phones. And Dave in New Jersey is in to chat with us, pop on the show. Hey, Dave, what's up?
Hey, good morning, guys. Happy Halloween. How's it going? Thanks for taking the call.
Thanks for calling.
I got a couple things, if I may. First off, Jeremy, I'm really curious. I love the way that the offense is heading right now. I'm really curious about a mid-season status update on the beautiful wide receiver train.
It's the train looks good.
Number two.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
That's good. The train looks good. The only concern for this year, like, I think they're fine. An injury might change that. The offseason, you know, there's going to be a decision on Cooper. Shakir's going to need an extension. And, you know, for anybody that says he's the next Amon-Ra St. Brown, which I saw Sigmund Bloom say he's the next Amon-Ra St. Brown. If I'm Khalil Shakir, I see that and I say, oh, that's interesting. He got $120 million, Amon-Ra St. Brown. So, you know, Shakir's going to have to get a raise. And then, you know, you still have Mac Hollins on a one-year deal. So I'm proud to say that I'll very likely be pushing for a receiver next year in the draft. Unless, you know, Cooper gets signed. We'll see how that goes.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's funny, in a good way, just to see over the course of the last few weeks how much of a difference a separation receiver makes in this offense. Right now it's more balanced, obviously giving Coleman more flexibility in the one-on-one has made a huge difference, so love to see it.
Dave, I want to make one more point on the wide receiver train, because there's another point that's kind of come to my mind recently, which is Coleman shows up and is pretty good right away. Like, that's pretty great. He was the first pick of the second round, and Cooper, they trade for, he's a former fourth overall pick. Like, one of the things I want to take away from that is, as much as, you know, people like to point out, like, well, Amon-Ra St. Brown's a fourth rounder and Diggs is a fifth and Khalil Shakir's a fifth rounder, is that pedigree at receiver still matters. Even though there are a lot of good ones, that pedigree still matters. And this team, ultimately, what do they get from the receivers that have come in and done really well? It's a first-round pick that got traded for Diggs. It's a first pick of the second round on Keon Coleman. And it's a third-round pick trade for a former top five overall pick in Amari Cooper. So, like, pedigree matters. And you still, with Josh Allen, I'm hoping that the lesson the Bills take from it, which I'm not even sure they needed the lesson, it just needed to come together, is that, of course, they should be signing the best they can and surrounding him with the best they can, rather than, you know, the waiver wire guys that they try to elevate into spots they probably shouldn't be elevated into.
Well said, absolutely. Thanks for that. The second thing I want to hit on real quick, Joe, and you touched on this before, was taking a bigger picture at the AFC in regards to tonight's game. You know, with Diggs now out for the season, I feel like we kind of want Houston to lose tonight, just because when Nico Collins does come back down the stretch, I feel like, although their schedule is tougher, they're more likely, when they're healthier, more likely to win some of those games down the stretch. And then the last and final thing I wanted to suggest, I tried to call on yesterday at the end of the show. I think I have the great legend of the game, Miami Dolphins troll for Sunday.
Mm, good.
And it also has to deal with movies and costume. And I think if we can somehow get Jim Carrey, Ace Ventura, Pet Detective to come to the stadium on Sunday, that would be the absolute best legend of the game.
All right.
So thanks for taking the call, guys. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Dave.
He do it? What's he up to?
What is he up to?
Hey, Jim, you want to take a trip to Buffalo for the weekend? Fall? Weather?
Is that his best movie? Dumb and Dumber. Sorry. End of list. Dumb and Dumber.
Hmm.
The Truman Show is great, too.
The Truman Show is very good. Should the Grinch be mentioned here?
No. I will not.
You sure?
Now that the holiday season is upon us as of, like, tomorrow, I will not listen to any other Grinches than the original animated Grinch. You cannot get me off that one.
The Jim Carrey Grinch, though, is...
No. Nope.
I think it's iconic.
Oh, my God.
I think it's iconic.
That's the kind of judgment you'll get from someone that offered $300 for a lifetime supply of Smarties right there. That's what that is.
Also, Bruce Almighty would be mentioned here by many, but I feel like it's only just... Is it actually a good movie, or is it just filmed in Buffalo?
I've only seen it once.
It was fine. And the scenes, I'm not saying it was bad. It was fine.
I saw it once, and the scenes that I was in were cut. So that
have a bias, then.
That affected my judgment of the film. Scott Pienowski, top of the hour, 803-0550. It's Pick of the Week coming up.